and Barbara Cusack. After coronavirus stimulus negotiations fell apart on Capitol Hill, President Trump laid out executive actions he would pursue. Correspondent Jeremy Diamond reports those include extending unemployment benefits and a payroll tax deferment.
It is not clear at this point that the president does have that authority, specifically when you're talking about taxing power, which is typically the power of Congress, and the president here talking about suspending the payroll tax. That seems unclear, and the White House so far hasn't provided any details on exactly what mechanism the president would use to get that done unilaterally.
President Trump again dismissed reports of foreign interference in this year's presidential election.
China and Iran want President Trump to be defeated. Russia wants him to win and is engaged in disinformation campaigns targeting Joe Biden. That's the word from an elections expert in the intelligence community. President Trump asked about the report in New Jersey.
Could be. I mean, I could be very much. I think that the last person Russia wants to see in office is Donald Trump, because nobody's been tougher on Russia than I have ever. Well, I don't care what anybody says.
Throughout his administration, intelligence leaders have said Russia did try to interfere in the 2016 election, tried to influence 2018, and would do so again this year. Bob Costantini, Washington.
Days before presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden is to name his running mate, the Associated Press reports he met with Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer in Delaware last weekend. Prominent evangelical supporter of President Trump, Jerry Falwell Jr., is on an indefinite leave of absence from Liberty University after posting a provocative photo on social media. And there is no mask mandate, as upwards of 250,000 people are expected during a motorcycle rally in South Dakota starting this weekend in Sturgis. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Ad sponsored by Open Jar Concepts. Attention, this is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Call us now at 800-462-2033. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-462-2033. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-462-2033. Again, 800-462-2033.
A number of states are offering a tax-free weekend.
It's tax-free weekend in Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Ohio, and other states. But instead of packing the stores,
we wouldn't be surprised if we have a lot of folks who are buying products online.
Kevin Lyons with the Texas Comptroller's Office says the tax-free holiday applies to online and in-person shopping.
The Comptroller is encouraging people, if they shop at brick and mortar, to practice social distancing.
Specific deals vary by state, but most clothing and footwear under a certain price won't include tax through Sunday. Clayton Neville, Dallas.
Canadiens' 2-0 victory over the Penguins clinched their first playoff berth in 3 years. Arizona Coyotes advanced in the postseason for the first time in 8 years with a 4-3 win over the Nashville Predators. Chicago beat Edmonton 3-2, knocking the Oilers out of the postseason. And the Islanders skating past the Panthers 5-1 to clinch their NHL best-of-five preliminary round playoff series. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Ad sponsored by Open Jar Concepts. Attention, this is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. Ad sponsored by Open Jar Concepts. Attention, this is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Call us now at 800-462-2033. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-462-2033.
You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-462-2033. Again, 800-462-2033.
WMAL traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. Earlier incident in Virginia, northbound 95 at Courthouse Road, now cleared from the roadway and no delays to worry about there. Now, there is a crash to watch out for southbound on the George Washington Parkway near 123. Watch out for delays there. And in the district, there is accident activity reported in southwest on South Capitol Street. On the southbound side, the left lane is closed in the 2800 block right near 295, so use caution in that area.
Well, after some morning clouds, we'll see those burn off later this morning, becoming partly cloudy later on today. It will be a much quieter start to the weekend, highs in the upper 80s. Don't have to worry about any flash flood watches, but we will have the chance for a stray afternoon shower or storm, mainly south of D.C. Tonight, mainly clear, lows back in the 60s in the suburbs, lower 70s downtown. If your Sunday, mostly sunny, it will be hot, highs back near 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
The economy is changing so fast, it's hard to keep up.
Apple has won a big court case.
Netflix.
In Europe. A streaming service says it added 10 million
Bill
subscribers.
Bill Gates is warning that future coronavirus vaccines...
I'm Justin Ho for the Marketplace Minute. Give us just a minute of your time, and we'll bring you the latest on what's happening in the economy, three times a day. We'll tell you what you need to know and why it matters, all in 60 seconds. Just ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute, or find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Come summer in Old Bay and enjoy breathtaking views of blue skies, grass overtaken by weeds, and your neighbor taking the trash out shirtless. Sip an Old Bay Bloody Mary as you relax in a lawn chair overlooking the kiddie pool and the trampoline. And savor Old Bay steamed shrimp as you take in the calm, tranquil sound of your husband going to town with the weed whacker. Old Bay, you don't just like it.
There's a lot going on in real estate, and now you're planning to sell. Who do you call and trust to get you the most money for your home and do it safely? I've got your answer. I'm Larry O'Connor, and I'm here to tell you about the only real estate team I recommend, Sarah and Debbie Reynolds, with the Reynolds team, Keller Williams Realty. Sarah and Debbie will guarantee to sell your home at 100% of your asking price, or they'll pay you the difference. Listen, there's a difference between getting your home sold and getting your home sold right. Getting your home sold right means more money in your pocket, not just getting it sold. Sarah and Debbie get their sellers $32,500 more on average. For Kendra Miller, the Reynolds team sold her home right. Kendra received 19 offers and sold for the highest sale in the neighborhood. Call the Reynolds team today at 844-344-SOLD. 844-344-SOLD or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. That's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Nice to have you with us. And we've got Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houtman, our producer this morning, and plenty going on. The president holding a rather quickly called press conference last night at his resort in Bedminster, New Jersey, addressing the very latest on the negotiations between the Democrats and the Republicans and the White House on coronavirus relief. And they're really at an impasse, and we'll get into some of the details on that with you very shortly this morning. Other things going on, the U.S. intelligence community has assessed that Russia is actively seeking to, quote, denigrate Joe Biden's campaign, and some actors in China are actually out to influence the elections against President Trump. And we'll have a lengthy conversation on that report coming up with Tony Schaefer a little bit later on this morning. Also, the investigation continues into that horrible blast in Lebanon. The president there in Lebanon saying that it's either an accident or it could have been a missile or a bomb. So that investigation continues, and we'll also talk with Tony Schaefer on that later on this morning. Some of the things happening over the week, the big debate here in Montgomery County over whether private schools could be shut down on orders of the county health officer. Well, that came to a close last night. The county backed off. But an interesting legal debate there, and we'll talk with Jim Trusty about that later on this morning. Also, another week of violence in Portland, Oregon, and we're going to talk with Jim Trusty about the very latest there. Some comments from the mayor of Portland, Oregon, raising eyebrows. Also raising eyebrows, comments from Joe Biden this week in a couple of different interviews, and some further gaffes when it comes to Joe Biden and the African-American community. We will have the audio for you, and we'll also have insight coming up from Kerry Pickett at the Washington Examiner. John Gizzi will join us later on this morning. We'll get the sort of the White House side of what happens next on the coronavirus relief. And as far as the Hill, we'll talk with Kerry Pickett about what's next from Democrats and Republicans on Capitol Hill. Also, Jennifer Harper will join us. She's got some very interesting information on the conventions, what's next for the Republican and Democratic convention plans. Also, fascinating poll numbers out this week. So we'll catch up with Jennifer Harper a bit later on this morning on that. And you may have seen and heard about the Sally Yates testimony on Capitol Hill, Senate Judiciary Committee. She, of course, there on, I believe it was Tuesday of this week. And we'll talk with KT McFarland this morning about the hearings on Capitol Hill. Of course, Sally Yates, the former Deputy Attorney General and for a short period of time, Acting Attorney General in the transition period. And we'll find out a little more about that with KT McFarland this morning. So a lot going on here on the Saturday morning update. And we're going to get first something that's on a lot of people's mind these days, the weather. I think some of us dodged the bullet when it came to the tropical storm this week, but some of us were less fortunate. And what's ahead in the week, we'll check out the latest on the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Watch out for some accident activity on the George Washington Parkway southbound near 123, at least one lane blocked there. And in the district, there is still some accident activity on South Capitol Street southbound near the Anacostia Freeway. Left lane is blocked with that incident. Earlier incident on 95 northbound near the Center Park Parkway has been cleared. No delays there. Do watch out for some road work right now on University Boulevard eastbound at Piney Branch Road in the right lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Well, after some morning clouds, we'll see those burn off later this morning, becoming partly cloudy later on today. It will be a much quieter start to the weekend, highs in the upper 80s. Don't have to worry about any flash flood watches, but we will have the chance for a stray afternoon shower or storm, mainly south of D.C. Tonight, mainly clear, lows back in the 60s in the suburbs, lower 70s downtown. If you're Sunday, mostly sunny, it will be hot, highs back near 90 degrees. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
72 degrees in the nation's capital, 6:13 on the Saturday morning update. Now, you have been watching and hearing the reports of the coronavirus relief negotiations. Democrats wanting a $3 million package, Republicans wanting a $1 million package, Republicans also wanting to at least do an interim fix to help some people that are in serious straits now because of the coronavirus and the impact on their employment. President Trump has threatened to initiate executive orders. So they were talking again yesterday, but they ended up a little earlier in the day. I thought they might have gone into the evening, but they hung it up early on Friday. And here's how the chief of staff, Mark Meadows, summed it up.
What they want is a $2.5 trillion blank check.
Well, Pretty straightforward from Mark Meadows. Now, Steve Mnuchin, of course, the Secretary of the Treasury, has been working very closely with Mark Meadows, the Chief of Staff of the White House, negotiating with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And here's how Steve Mnuchin summed it up.
The Chief and I will recommend to the President, based upon our lack of activity today, to move forward with some executive orders.
What did Nancy Pelosi have to say?
I've told them, come back when you are ready to give us a higher number.
So, that's where we are. So what happens next? Well, the president just might issue some executive orders. Now, he talked about it last night. He called a press conference at the Bedminster Resort, his golf club in New Jersey, and it came up pretty quickly late yesterday afternoon, early evening, and the president had a lot to say, but first off, this is how he addressed the executive order plans. Now, as the president usually does, he'll do, kind of a speech and then take questions afterwards. So let's get what he had to say to begin with as he opened that news conference.
What we're talking about is deferring the payroll tax for a period of months till the end of the year, and I can extend it at a certain period. Hopefully, I will be here to do the job. We're going to do the job. We've been doing a job like nobody could. Nobody would, actually. And so we're going to have the payroll tax go till the end of the year, and it'll be retroactive to July 1st. So we're going to go back to July 1st, and it'll go to the end of the year, payroll tax. At the end of the year, it may be extended. We're going to enhance unemployment benefits through the end of the year. So unemployment benefits will be, that's a big one, will be brought out to the end of the year and defer student loan payments and forgive interest until further notice. So students who are paying student loans, and in many cases they're not even allowed to go back into their colleges, extend the eviction moratorium. We will be extending that so people aren't evicted, not their fault.
So that's what he has in mind. Those are the plans for the executive orders. He has not signed those executive orders yet. And after that, obviously, he was questioned by reporters last night at the press conference in Bedminster, New Jersey, and this was the first question he got on those executive orders.
These executive orders you mentioned, do you have a timeline on when you're going to sign them?
Yeah, it could be by the end of the week. They're being drawn by the lawyers right now. They work very nicely. It would be nice to be able to do it with the Democrats, but they're really just interested in one thing, and that's protecting people that have not done a good job in managing cities and states, and nothing to do with COVID, nothing to do with, or little to do. They want to be able to make up for many, many years, in some cases decades of bad management. We can't do that. So that's what they want. They want to do that, and we don't want to do that.
Are you concerned about the legality of these executive orders?
No, not at all. No, if somebody, well, you always get sued. I mean, everything you do, you get sued. I was sued on the travel ban, and we won. I was sued on a lot of things, and we won. So we'll see. Yeah, probably we get sued, but people feel that we can do it.
So that's what the president had to say about the executive orders. Now, also, as we mentioned earlier in the show, the National Counterintelligence and Security Center director, Bill Evanina, issued a statement where he talked about Russia actively seeking to, quote, denigrate presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, and that China, quote, prefers that President Trump, whom Beijing sees as unpredictable, does not win re-election, and that Iran may try to, quote, undermine U.S. democratic institutions and the president, primarily through online and social media content. Statement went on to say many foreign actors have a preference for who wins the election, which they express through a range of overt and private statements. Covert influence efforts are rarer. The statement continues, we are primarily concerned about the ongoing and potential activity by China, Russia, and Iran. The president was asked about those intel reports at the press conference last night.
Mr. President, the intelligence agencies today said that Russia is already meddling in this year's election to hurt Joe Biden, and that China is considering meddling to hurt you. Do you believe that intelligence, and what do you plan to do about it?
It could be. I mean, I could be very much. I think that the last person Russia wants to see in office is Donald Trump, because nobody's been tougher on Russia than I have ever.
That's not what intelligence is.
I don't care what anybody says. Nobody with any common sense would say, do it. Look at what we've done with our military. Look at what we've done in exposing the pipeline with billions of dollars going to Russia. Look at all of the things we've done with NATO, where I've raised $130 billion a year from countries that were delinquent, and now they're paying all of this money. And the $130 billion, not million, billion, goes to $400 billion over a few years. And that's all money to protect against Russia. China would love us to have an election where Donald Trump lost to sleepy Joe Biden. They would dream. They would own our country. If Joe Biden was president, China would own our country.
Okay, so that's what the president had to say last night, Bedminster, New Jersey. And let's hope they finally get a package together if the Democrats and the Republicans can ever come to terms. Let's turn to Joe Biden. He had kind of a tough week when it came to some interviews he did. Now, you know, he's doing a lot of one-on-one interviews, and typically he is among friendly circles when he does these interviews. Haven't seen him on Fox News Sunday, although Chris Wallace has repeatedly requested that he do that. He has not appeared. So this is a report that aired on CBS, and Errol Barnett is a CBS reporter, and he is a reporter of color, and he asked Joe Biden whether he would take a cognitive test. And number one, Joe Biden asks him if he's a junkie, and then at the end of it, Joe Biden has a little trouble getting his words straight. Well, here it is.
Please clarify specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but, I mean, I'm so forward-looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates.
So that's Joe Biden. And typically you look forward to something. I don't always forward look it towards something. I look forward to something, not forward look. And kind of weird in there when Biden asks, are you a junkie? Strange, strange comments from Joe Biden. Well, that's not the worst of it. This one has raised more eyebrows because a lot of people really didn't pick up on the interview with Errol Barnett. I saw a story at Fox that CNN buried it. Well, one that didn't get buried was a comment, very simple comment that Joe Biden made about diversity. This, again, will likely be offensive to African Americans.
Unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
So Biden and the campaign did the walk back and tried to issue a clarification, and that saga continues. But it does give you some sense of what's going on the Biden campaign. Be very interesting to see if he were to do a full-blown press conference. He did take a few questions from the press a week or two ago, but it appeared that they had that kind of all set up in advance as to who was going to stand up next and ask the question. So be interesting to see him take one as the president does, where it's just rapid fire and you never know what's coming next at the Trump press conferences. Well, it's 6:24. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Glad that you've joined us. We got a lot coming up. Jennifer Harper, Jim Trusty. We'll talk with KT McFarland, John Gizzi on the way, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and Kerry Pickett from the Washington Examiner. So we've got you covered on all the big stories of the week. Stay with us.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's the final days to save up to $500 on select Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds, plus special financing on all Smart Beds. Ends Wednesday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
There's a lot going on in real estate, and now you're planning to sell. So who do you call and trust to get you the most money for your home and do it safely? Here's your answer. Call Sarah and Debbie Reynolds with the Reynolds team, Keller Williams Realty. Sarah and Debbie will guarantee to sell your home at 100% of your asking price, or they will pay you the difference. Listen, there's a difference between getting your home sold and getting your home sold right. Getting your home sold right means more money in your pocket, not just getting it sold. Sarah and Debbie get their sellers $32,500 more dollars on average. For Kendra Miller, the Reynolds team sold her home right. Kendra received 19 offers and sold for the highest sale in the neighborhood. Call the Reynolds team today at 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD, or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. That's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Let me ask you something. What do you think is going to happen with our tax rates over the next few years? Will they go lower, stay the same, or go higher? Unfortunately, I think we all know the answer. Congress is going to have to find some way of paying for all that stimulus spending, trillions of dollars worth. So what does that mean for you? Well, it means you should start thinking now about how you can be more tax efficient in retirement.
Find out more at RetirementKeyRadio.com.
It's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. I'm glad you've joined us. Portland, Oregon. It's been 70-some nights now of unrest and rioting, for that matter. Some people call it protesting, but if you've seen some of the images this week, some of the vandals were attempting to break into the police station this time around and with a battering ram, and they've tried to light the buildings on fire in Portland. It's been pretty crazy, and the mayor has been really out there on this, basically taken the side of the protesters and, for that matter, the vandals up to this point. But he had a slight change of tone, and here's what the mayor of Portland finally, Ted Wheeler, finally coming around a little bit.
When you commit arson with an accelerant in an attempt to burn down a building that is occupied by people that you have intentionally trapped inside, you are not demonstrating. You are attempting to commit murder.
All right. Finally, a strong statement from Ted Wheeler. But then he continued, and this has raised some eyebrows. This is a comment that we're going to talk with Jim Trusty a little bit later on in this half hour about. How he puts it in the context of don't do it because you'll help Trump get elected, not because you're a killer. Here.
You are creating the B-roll film that will be used in ads nationally to help Donald Trump during his campaign. You don't want to be part of that, then don't show up.
Okay, well, that is the mayor of Portland, and again, even though the quote-unquote federal law enforcement officers have pulled away from the courthouse, the unrest and the violence continues, and now they most recently have been focusing on the police station in downtown Portland. 6:29, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Come summer in Old Bay and enjoy breathtaking views of blue skies, grass overtaken by weeds, and your neighbor taking the trash out shirtless. Sip an Old Bay Bloody Mary as you relax in a lawn chair overlooking the kiddie pool and the trampoline.
and savor Old Bay steamed shrimp as you take in the calm, tranquil sound of your husband going to town with the weed whacker. Old Bay, you don't just like it.
Beat the heat with the Mattress Warehouse Summer Savings Sale. For a limited time, save up to 60% and take advantage of 0% interest financing. Plus, open a Synchrony Home Financing account over $999 and get a $100 Visa prepaid card. And remember, the Mattress Warehouse one-year price guarantee means you know you're getting the best price. Why shop anywhere else? Visit sleephappens.com. We all feel better with a good night's sleep. Let Mattress Warehouse help you get there.
Based on the recent stock market slide, do you feel your money and investments are safe? Would a repeat of the market losses you experienced earlier in the year or in 2002 and 2008 derail your family's retirement plans? It's time to make a U-turn on your retirement strategy. This Sunday at 1 p.m., tune in to the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour with Tucker and Blake. They'll cover these financial topics and, more importantly, share little-known strategies to keep your money safe and discuss tax-free income. Join the conversation this Sunday at 1 p.m.
In the news at this hour, as we were discussing about Ted Wheeler in Portland, more protests are expected in Portland throughout the weekend. It follows the demonstrations over the week as unrest in Portland continues. Protests have occurred nightly for 70 nights. Early Friday morning, about 200 people, some wielding homemade shields, clashed with police for the third consecutive night as two other Black Lives Matter rallies proceeded peacefully elsewhere in the city. The Democratic Mayor Ted Wheeler said this week the violent protesters are also serving as political props for the president's reelection. Trump has tried to portray the protesters as sick and dangerous anarchists running wild in the city's streets. Governor Gretchen Whitmer went to Delaware to meet with Joe Biden as he nears the announcement of his vice presidential choice. That's according to two high-ranking Michigan Democrats. They're telling that to the Associated Press. The officials, speaking on the condition of anonymity, say that Whitmer visited Biden last Sunday. It is his first confirmed in-person meeting with a potential pick. Whitmer, the first-term governor of a battleground state, has long been on the short list of possible running mates. Flight records show a charter flight left the Capital Region International Airport in Lansing for Delaware Coastal Airport last weekend. Left at 5:33 p.m. on Sunday, returning that same evening at 11:16 p.m. The United States is imposing sanctions on pro-China officials in Hong Kong, including the leader of the government, for their alleged roles in squashing freedom in the British colony. The Treasury Department announcing sanctions yesterday on Carrie Lam, the leader of the pro-Beijing government, and 10 other officials. The sanctions are the latest in a string of actions the Trump administration has taken against China as tensions between the two nations rise over trade disputes and the coronavirus. 6:32, it's time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Just need to watch out for some accident activity on the GW Parkway southbound near 123. Traffic is slow through the area. An incident on South Capitol Street near the Anacostia Freeway just cleared away. Keep in mind that in Loudoun County, on the ramp from US 15 southbound to go on to North King Street is blocked with accident investigation activity. Traveling on the Capitol Beltway, everything looking good so far. Do keep in mind in the district there is a work zone on northbound New Jersey Avenue between K Street and New York Avenue. That closed for road work this weekend, but detours are posted. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Well, after some morning clouds, we'll see those burn off later this morning, becoming partly cloudy later on today. We'll be much quieter start to the weekend, highs in the upper 80s. Don't have to worry about any flash flood watches, but we will have the chance for a stray afternoon shower or storm, mainly south of D.C. Tonight, mainly clear, lows back in the 60s in the suburbs, lower 70s downtown. If your Sunday, mostly sunny, it will be hot, highs back near 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Lee at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
72 degrees at 6:33 on the Saturday morning update.
Shopping for appliances? There are now more ways than ever to get the attention you deserve at Bray & Scarf. Make an in-store appointment with one of our factory-trained appliance experts. Schedule a live video shopping session from the comfort of your home. Or get the answers you need by phone, chat, or text. However you choose to shop, Bray and Scarf experts work harder to help you find the appliance you need. Read our great Google reviews and see for yourself. Then shop local at Bray and Scarf, where it doesn't cost more to get more.
Don't miss Bray and Scarf's Virginia sales tax holiday, going on now. Pay no sales tax on select Energy Star washers, dishwashers, and refrigerators. No sales tax. Plus, appliance deals throughout the store, including exclusive savings on all GE and Cafe appliances. Bray & Scarf is the area's number one local and independent appliance retailer with the absolute lowest prices and Bray & Scarf's best price guarantee. Hurry in. Now open in Springfield. Or visit BrayandScarf.com.
Hi, this is Eric Stewart. If you've been playing with the idea of selling your home or maybe downsizing, well, tune in to my show Sunday mornings right here at 8 a.m. There I'll bring you this week's local real estate news and what you need to do to get top dollar for your property. With over 30 years of experience and the backing of Long & Foster, one of the top real estate companies, I've pretty much seen and sold it all. To learn more, check us out on the web at ericstewartgroup.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Thank you for being with us on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler, and we are joined by Jennifer Huckle. Each week she writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
We've heard that Joe Biden will not be going to Milwaukee to accept his nomination at the Democratic quote-unquote convention. What do we know about the Republican National quote-unquote convention?
Yes, well, indeed, it is a quote-unquote convention. You have to remember that not so long ago, the Republican National Convention expected to have 50,000 attendees, 15,000 journalists, and 8,000 volunteers there in Charlotte to host the Republican National Convention, and it's pared down a great deal. Now, if you need the fact here, it begins on August 24th. It's 3 days long. But, of course, the pandemic has put a big damper on the GOP's plan, but they are going forth with their rendition of a big show. And here's a little information about who's going to be there. There will be six delegates from each state and territory are planning to attend. There'll be a total of 336 delegates. This is according to the organizers. And here's what they have to face when they get there. All must have a COVID-19 test beforehand. There will be symptom tracking, temperature checks, required social distancing, of course face masks, plus on-site health personnel and telemedicine consultations if they need it. So they're prepared for everything. You got to really hand it to them for that, because turning around that kind of logistical stuff is a lot of work. But anyway, the plan, according to Dr. Jeffrey Runge, he is their medical advisor, is based on evolving scientific evidence. I like that. It kind of sounds like they're having a Star Trek convention or something. But anyway, the guidance issued by the Presidential Corona Task Force is also entering in on this. Again, advice from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases. President Trump is likely to give a virtual convention acceptance speech from the White House, but that's still a work in progress. But it's complicated, but it's going to happen.
So not only is he working on his acceptance speech, he's crafting his own media quiz. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You always have to admire the Trump campaign, because he has bypassed not only the media but also major pollsters for years. He started conducting his own polls back in 2015, back in his campaign days, and he's measuring popular sentiment and feelings about the media and so forth. And this week, the Trump campaign has issued a 25-question mainstream media accountability survey. This came out on Thursday. It's very specific indeed. And just to give you an idea of what the 25 questions involve, they're pretty fun to answer, but here are some of the questions. Do you believe the mainstream media actually cares about working Americans? Do you trust the mainstream media to tell the truth about the Republican Party position and actions? Do you believe the media is engaging in a witch hunt to take down President Trump? Do you believe political correctness has created biased news coverage of both illegal immigration and radical Islamic terrorism? Do you believe people of faith have been unfairly characterized by the media? Do you believe the media has wrongly attributed gun violence to Second Amendment rights? And one more, do you agree with President Trump's media strategy to cut through the media's noise and deliver our message straight to the people? Anyway, those are some of the questions, and President Trump looks like he's in top form, at least in the poll world.
There have been a range of books out on President Trump, from the positive to the negative, and in campaign season, I'm sure we're going to see a raft of them before November 3rd. There is one out on the plus side for the president?
Oh, my gosh, yes. This was such a surprise. Because there are literally, as you mentioned, there are hundreds of books out there on Trump, and an awful lot of them are mean-spirited, negative, et cetera, et cetera. This is a brand new book, and it could actually provide some reassurance to all the millions of Trump fans who are just tired of nonstop hostile attacks on President Trump and his family as well, by the news media, the Hollywood activists, pundits, the academic scholars, they're all in on. Here's what arrived on Tuesday. Trump, the presidential photographs. And this is a collection of official photographs from the White House photographers. It's really quite nice. And the publisher itself is calling it a stunning new book on the Trump presidency. And I kind of agree. This is a 320-page book. It's not exactly a giant cocktail book, but it's very convenient to look at. And it offers the publisher says, an all-access pass to the 45th presidency, their historic photos and their grand and intimate moments, and also an insider's look beyond the gates of the White House here, and Oval Office, the Situation Room, Air Force One, official trips overseas and across the nation. And I took a peek at it. My favorite photograph was President Trump greeting the nation's sheriff. And if you could see the looks on the sheriff's faces, it was joy and jubilance, and they were all happy. It was just very reassuring. Anyway, if you're curious about the stunning new book on the Trump presidency, it is called Trump, the Presidential Photographs. It is from William Morrow. And it's a whopping 320-page book and 250 color photographs, so it's worth a peek.
Trump's taken a lot of heat on a lot of different things, especially around the environment, but you have a headline, Trump saves the great outdoors with a positive move to save the nation's grand parks and public lands. What did he do?
Well, yes, indeed. We do have good news about the great outdoors this week, and it's good news for the fruited plain, not to mention the purple-mounted majesties here, because President Trump has signed the Great American Outdoors Act this week. And it's allocated $9.5 billion to restore and protect our beautiful national public parks and public lands in the next 5 years. And this is the largest investment in this kind of maneuver in history. It's a good one, too. And I'll tell you why. If you're thinking, that's a lot of money for the parks. Well, these gorgeous parks, we love them all, but they make money. They create jobs, and they create goodwill. Here's the stats on that, and this is according to the latest figures from the National Park Service. There were 318 million people visit the sites a year, and they spend $20.2 billion doing that. The visitor spending also created 268,000 jobs. This is in 1 year, folks, in the park gateway communities. Those are those nice little towns and stuff that are near the big parks. And ultimately, all told, the parks and the public land generated $40.1 billion, according to the report, and this was issued in 2019. So Mr. Trump, in this move, he also pleased a very specific demographic in a convention and a election year, because the Great American Outdoors Act has won the support of 850 conservation groups, along with 43 sportsmen and sportswomen groups. This is according to the White House. I think all told, good move. And according to Interior Secretary David Bernhardt, he said, I added it up. 5 presidents, 9 secretaries of the interior, and 10 secretaries of agriculture have worked on legislation to accomplish fully funding the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which is the idea behind all this, or enhancing our nation's parks by addressing the backlog. And only one president got that done, and that's what he did this week. So kind of saved the great outdoors.
Okay, we've saved 2 polls for the end here, and one of them has to do with how people feel about the volume of news out there.
I can't wait
to hear the results of this one.
Yes, indeed. Well, if you feel jittery these days about the ever-changing news, the nonstop presence, the shrill delivery, the everything amped up with news and opinion, and you can't separate any of it after a while, well, you are not alone. A gigantic new poll of 20,000 people, U.S. adults, agree with you. This is coming from Gallup and the Knight Foundation. It's a huge poll. It's very revealing about the news media, but this is what they say about this aspect of it. Americans feel that the news media is not working for them due to the sheer volume of news mixed with opinion and their increased perception of bias in the news. Again, this is coming from Gallup and the Knight Foundation, and they said that news consumers feel overwhelmed and unable to sort out the facts. And gosh, I got to agree with that sometime, because I'm like always trying to sort out the facts. But all that aside, numbers here to cite, 62% say it's harder to be well-informed because they must sort through information to determine what's true and important. The most frequent cause of this, and this is cited by 3/4 of the respondents, is a jumbled-up mix of news and non-news, followed by the relentless speed of the news cycle and the increase of news organizations now able to deliver news anytime, any place, in multiple formats. And these factors were cited by 2/3 of the respondents. And one last thing, the poll analysis said, in response to feeling overwhelmed by the abundance of news sources in the current media environment, a plurality of Americans, 41%, say they only pay attention to 1 or 2 trusted sources, while 1 in 3 try to consult a variety of sources to see where they agree. And about 1 in 6 Americans opt for the most extreme response, saying they've stopped paying attention to news altogether. Well, anyway, you go about the quick news and its effect on Americans.
Another hot topic, schools and reopening this fall. Should the kids go to school or stay home? What are the polls telling us there?
Yeah, well, we're going to turn to Gallup once again here, and there's a huge partisan difference in how people feel about the schools, whether their child will get sick with coronavirus. And it's complicated, but it's interesting. Overall, 64% of U.S. parents are worried that their child will get coronavirus during in-person schooling. But let's look at the breakdown on that. 37% of parents are somewhat worried, and that includes 20% of Republicans, 43% of independents, and 43% of Democrats. 27% overall are very worried that their child will get the virus. That includes 9% of Republicans, 22% of independents, and 42% of Democrats. So you can see right there, Democrats and Republicans are at the opposite end of the scales here. So again, we have almost a conspiracy going on as to where we're going to go with this. And the rest of the poll says 22% overall are not too worried their child will become sick. That includes 37% of Republicans and 12% of Democrats. 14% overall are not worried at all. 33% of Republicans agree, along with only 3% of Democrats. Again, this is a Gallup poll. It's very telling, and also adds to the fact that this is a very difficult situation. My heart goes out to all the parents and the teachers trying to figure out what to do here. So it's complicated.
Great information, as always. Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, Washington Times. Follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. You have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend, everybody.
6:48 Saturday Morning Update, WMAL, and we go to Michelle Murray in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Looks like that earlier accident southbound on the GW Parkway at 123 cleared away and delays have eased. An incident on South Capitol Street southbound near the Anacostia Freeway has cleared away. Keep in mind in Northwest today, New Jersey Avenue is closed northbound between K Street and New York Avenue for some construction taking place. You can just follow the posted detours, and that should be in place until about 6 o'clock this evening. Also, keep in mind that in Virginia, in Middleburg, a portion of Route 50 is closed in both directions between Madison Street and Potts Mill Road for some weekend construction, but detours are in place. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Well, after some morning clouds, we'll see those burn off later this morning, becoming partly cloudy later on today. It will be a much quieter start to the weekend, highs in the upper 80s. Don't have to worry about any flash flood watches, but we will have the chance for a stray afternoon shower or storm, mainly south of D.C. Tonight, mainly clear, lows back in the 60s in the suburbs, lower 70s downtown. If your Sunday, mostly sunny, it will be hot, highs back near 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
73 degrees, 6:50 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday morning update, great to have you with us, and it's great to be joined by Jim Trusty. And, of course, he helps us out on all the pressing legal matters of the day. He is a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington, and he also served as the chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
I want to start with a local story that became a national story, the debate on schools and whether they should reopen in the fall in terms of in-class instruction or whether it's online instruction. And Montgomery County was a very heated debate as the county officials tried to suggest that private schools could not reopen.
That's right, Rick. This is really a bureaucratic coup, for lack of better phrasing. The county health officer really only has authority to talk about closing anything when it's given to him by the governor. And so Governor Hogan had issued some orders acknowledging that there was a state of emergency in the state of Maryland, and giving authority to the county health officer to essentially go into facilities where there was an unreasonable risk, where it was unsafe and the people running the particular facilities were unwilling to actually take the steps to make it safe. That was a really limited amount of discretion that he was given, but somehow he took that, and I guess there's a lot of interesting politics probably behind the scene here in terms of public schools versus private schools. But the county health officer just took that limited grant of authority and decided to issue, last weekend, I guess it was, an order effective on Monday that all private schools were shut down until October, and he would not announce any of his criteria for that, but just simply said, I'll revisit it in October. Well, the governor was one of the first people, along with 22,000 private school families, to basically say, no, this is outrageous. And the governor immediately announced that's not what he was intending to do. What's interesting to me is that the delegation was clearly talking about specific facilities, not a whole class of businesses or schools. And so I thought from the beginning, looking at the authority, the county health officer was out of bounds. County health officer seemed to double down at first, basically saying, I don't need to see the governor's tweet or his statement. The governor amended the order he gave to say, except schools. In other words, making it 1,000% clear that the county health officer did not have authority to do this. And for a few days after a temporary restraining order motion was filed in the Greenbelt Federal District Court, for a few days it looked like the county was still going to fight this thing, which was really bordering on insanity when the language was clear in the first place and had become even clearer by the governor's actions. But the late-breaking information from Friday evening was that the county was finally throwing in the towel and giving up on this decision to try to close all the private schools, and they'll be left to do this on an individual basis with remediation that they think might work.
That was actually on the docket at a federal court.
Right. There's a judge that I used to work with as a former assistant U.S. attorney, Judge George Hazel, great judge over at Greenbelt as a district court judge. He had received the temporary restraining order motion and set it for hearing on next Friday. But it looks like now next Friday we'll go out with a whimper instead of a bang. It should be a very quick matter of just acknowledging that the county reversed course.
Jim, so far, Portland has yet to become a whimper. There's 70 days and nights of rioting in Portland, Oregon. Now, the mayor finally has turned around, but you have a very interesting take on his change of heart.
Well, I don't think the mayor's change of heart should really count as anything to be complimented. Yes, the same mayor who blamed Trump for putting federal troops at the courthouse, and of course there's no such thing as federal troops, but having the temerity to defend a federal courthouse somehow offended this mayor. Well, the description he gave was a horrifying event where people were trying to pin police officers into a precinct and light the precinct on fire. And just pause for a second and think, if that had been successful, what would we be talking about today? I mean, it's an amazing, horrific criminal situation. And the mayor took a minute in his public comments to say, "You're not a demonstrator, that's attempted murder." But instead of ending it with period, he immediately pivoted to the idea of telling these rioters that they're helping Trump. They're helping his reelection campaign by doing these things. And that, to me, is just absolutely sick. I mean, he can't just condemn attempted murder of police officers. He has to basically say, well, it's particularly wrong here because you're going to help out Trump. So all morality of that condemnation is stripped out and replaced with the idea of bad press. Now, don't do this because it's really going to bring bad press to our cause. And so, yeah, I think Ted Wheeler will have an awful lot to explain when people look back at these riots for 70-plus days and look at all the injured police officers and federal agents, the destruction of businesses all across Portland, the decline of the quality of living. I mean, hopefully the lesson will not just be that Ted Wheeler is a terrible mayor, but that appeasement or encouragement even of rioting has predictable and bad results.
Well, the Michael Flynn case, as well as the activities of certain members of the FBI under scrutiny again this week, Senate Judiciary Committee hearing as Sally Yates, the former Deputy Attorney General and for a short period the Acting Attorney General, testimony on Capitol Hill. And Jim, your take on what she had to say.
Well, it's a really interesting hearing. I mean, I have known Sally Yates, and not deeply, but for a while, and she's certainly an intelligent, articulate witness, and that poses problems for people trying to cross-examine, because anytime you have a very articulate witness, they can turn a simple question into a speech. I will say right off the bat, big difference from the Democratic-led House hearings. You didn't have people shouting, "I reclaim my time," every 2 seconds to try to shut her up. So Sally talked a lot about the Flynn FISA application process, the meetings at the meeting at the White House on January 4th, I believe it was. And I think there's a couple of takeaways that are worth mentioning. I mean, the one thing is she still doggedly defends the idea of prosecuting Flynn. And there were some softball questions thrown to her about General Flynn's case to simply focus on whether or not kind of this academic argument of whether or not the statements that he made were material. Well, that's only a tiny part, really, of the motion to dismiss filed by Attorney General Barr. It's really not about legal nuance and whether it's material. It was the combination of outrageous government conduct from top to bottom. You know, ambush interviews, Comey avoiding Sally Yates' call so he could make sure the interviews take place, Strzok keeping a case open that was supposed to be closed, and then discovery violations when they got down the road and were in court prosecuting him. So I really don't think that the academic exercise of kind of navel-gazing at false statement cases was the key to why Flynn's case is being dismissed, or at least they're trying to dismiss it. But Sally tends to kind of defend that process. She also was very protective of the idea that the Obama White House had concerns about Flynn and that somehow that makes it okay to put him under the scrutiny that they put him under. But I think one thing she does very well in terms of what we've seen about all of the conduct surrounding the Russian investigation and Michael Flynn, Carter Page, the Russian dossier, she makes it very clear that Jim Comey was out of control, that the former FBI director was unethical, was self-righteous, was end-running Department of Justice. And this is a guy who used to be a deputy attorney general himself. He knows the chain of communication. He chose to break it because he's too important. or thought his work was too important. So I think there was a lot to take out of the hearing, a lot of stuff that was really kind of nuanced procedural things that, you know, good attorneys can fight about for a long time. But I think she did tend to suggest, not intentionally, that there was a criminalizing of policy differences here, that if you disagree with the incoming White House, if they were going to undo Obama's stated policy towards the Russians, that that somehow justified a counter-espionage investigation against their national security director. And that's just not right. I mean, again, there's a stunning lack of curiosity in some quarters about whether or not the government was playing fair when it came to these investigations. And I'm not in that camp. I think we should be looking at this hard. And I think Sally Yates' testimony was maybe not perfectly complete on every issue, but certainly helpful about how out of control Jim Comey and a small group of FBI agents were.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. As always, Jim, thank you very much for your perspectives.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Jim. And you can follow Jim on Twitter at Trusty Lawyer. We've got 7 o'clock news coming up. Back with John Gizzi, very latest on the negotiations between the White House and the Democrats on the coronavirus relief package. Also, Kerry Pickett, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland coming up.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.